Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast that nobody asked for, but we're doing it anyway. I'm Alex.
And I'm Madison. And in this podcast, we talk about trending topics and give you answers to the questions that you're too scared to ask.
So welcome back to another episode of Two Peas in a Pod. And given today's topic that you can figure out by the title, we're just going to preface this episode by saying that we are going to be talking about toxic relationships, and we may or may not expose some people that are currently in our lives or have been in our lives. So if you get mad, that's not our problem. But if the shoe fits, then I guess you're an asshole.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about what toxic relationships look like, how to get out of them, and just some experiences we've had with toxic relationships and dealing with all the shit they bring, because I can guarantee you, Alex and I have both had our fair share of toxic relationships.
No, I think it's safe to say that everyone in general has had some kind of shitty or toxic friendship or relationship, or, you know, just a really bad experience with people that kind of, you know, cause trauma, or they last for a long time. And I mean, we all come to the point where we think it's time to cut this person out, or if they're not going to change and they're not gonna, you know, be any better and fix their behavior, then I think we all kind of reach a breaking point where we're like, okay, if you're not gonna fix your shit and, like, you know, treat me better, then it's time to cut you loose, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. And, like, toxic relationships do look different for everyone. Like, I think the main characteristics, I don't know about you, but I always see there's kind of like hostility, like judgment, a lack of trust, some sort of feelings of entrapment. But what's even more of an issue in this current day and age is that I think a lot of friendships now can be toxic to a certain extent, and you just kind of have to do your best to find out which parts of the friendship are real and which parts are toxic, like, if any at all, I guess, you know what I mean?
I think the worst thing too is that a lot of the time you don't even notice it, but sometimes you just have those friends that just aren't supportive of your success, or, you know, you have some good news and they always have to one-up it, or they always put you down or talk down to you, or, you know, give you a backhanded compliment. And it's really sometimes really unnoticeable stuff like that that you can kind of just, like, you know, let it slide off your back or whatever and, like, not pay attention to it. But after a while, you start to notice, like, you know, this person's never been supportive of me. They're never happy or proud of me for my accomplishments. They're never excited for me. And I think that that's such a draining thing, especially with social media and having, you know, our lives out in the public constantly and constantly sharing our accomplishments, especially because we are in journalism and, you know, we're in a very public medium. A lot of our peers and stuff, we're always, you know, sharing our accomplishments, sharing our work on social media and whatnot. And you can really tell the friends that, you know, aren't supportive of you. They're not proud of you. They're not actually, like, you know, reading your work or consuming your shit. And I think that that's a really draining thing to have and experience.
I think that that's something that we both agree upon a lot. I mean, I know I have different friend groups, and some of them are from school and some of them are from home and work and whatever. And, like, not to say that it's necessarily a bad thing, not to pinpoint them for being bad friends, but, like you said, being in journalism with this very public medium of how we display our work and things we do and the accomplishments we have, it seems so normal for us to just be like, oh my gosh, like, Rachel had a panel on this, or, like, congratulate, like, Nick on doing this or whatever. But, I mean, a lot of my friends from either, like, high school or from work are more, I want to say, like, envious, I guess. Like, it's kind of like they don't really congratulate me. They don't all really read my articles. And, like, I'm not really expecting anyone to sit down and read everything and listen to everything I say, but a congratulations would be nice. And then it kind of gets you thinking, like, even when it comes to the podcast, do you actually not have time to listen to 40 minutes of a podcast, or can you just not make time? Which kind of goes to show, like, you should never have your friends doubt. You should never have them not want to make you feel accomplished, but that's what it's coming down to these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, especially with the podcast too. Like, I've noticed all the people that have either DM'd me or texted me and been like, hey, like, I love this episode of the podcast, especially, like, yeah, the Tinder one, because, like, we expose so much shit. So, like, it was just nice to have, like, those friends that actually did consume the podcast and weren't just like, oh, that's great news, like, good for you, keep up the good work, but, like, people actually listened to it and actually, like, commented on some of the stuff we talked about and agreed with what we were talking about and
gave
stuff
us
like
that 5.0.
So, like, just
Apple
having
Music,
those people that, you know, you actually know are actually consuming your stuff, and, you know, they're proud of you, and they're reading your work, they're listening to your stuff, and they actually give a shit about what you're putting out there, that can really differentiate between the people who are real ones and they're there for you and, like, you vibe with them, and people that are just snakes and, you know, they're there for the good stuff, but they might not even be there for the good stuff, and they're not there for the bad stuff. And I mean, I just think that it really differentiates between the people who are toxic and the people who are actually real ones.
Well, this past year, you and I have had a lot of experiences with certain friends, so to say.
Have we ever?
Who've kind of come into our friend group just out of the blue. And, you know, we love making new friends as much as the next person. But, I mean, we do have a lot of amenities that some people might not have. And these friends are really, really quick to just, you know, can I use your hot tub? Can we have the pre here? Can you drive me here? Can you pick me up? Like, you really have to start thinking and picking your friends at this age. Like, I'm telling you, almost every day I second guess myself. I'm like, do they enjoy these free car rides in my nice house, or do they actually like me for me?
I mean, even when I moved into my apartment downtown, like, so many people that I hadn't talked to in months or even years, they'd text me. They'd be like, oh my God, like, congrats on the condo. I should come by and we should get drinks. And I'm like, bro, we're not friends. Like, I haven't talked to you in years. I haven't talked to you since, like, high school or even elementary school. And you're just hitting me up because now you have a place to crash in Toronto. And it's like, you can really kind of weed out who's a fake one who's just kind of using you for the shit you have. And, oh, like, you have a place, we're going out clubbing, so can we crash at your condo and whatever? And it's like, bro, no, like, I'm not a fucking Hilton Hotel, like, no. But I mean, having said that too, like, people, I'm always welcome to have people over. I like hosting, like, I like having people at my apartment. I like being social, especially because I live alone, so I really do like having people over and, you know, seeing people as much as we can in the pandemic, at least. But even, like, using my parking, like, Madison uses my free parking all the time, and it's like, that's a privilege, right? Like, I only get a certain amount of parking per month, especially overnight. So it's like, I'm not just gonna give you my free parking. I'm not just gonna let you use me as a hotel. And I think that you can really tell the people that are using you for the shit that's going on, or, like, people that are actually real ones that, like, genuinely want to come over and see you and spend time with you. And then it's like, yeah, of course you can crash my place. Yes, you can use my free parking, whatever you want. But it's like, if you're just hitting me up out of the blue because you want a place to crash and treat me like the fucking Hilton Hotel, then I don't vibe with that.
Well, I had that at Carleton too when I went to school there for one super short semester.
I'm still waiting for you to go back.
I'm going, Alex. It takes time. No, but seriously, I do remember that all my roommates, I had three of them, and they were all from really small cities. So to them, everything that I did in the city life that I had back home, it was just completely different, and they weren't accustomed to the same kind of lifestyle that I was. Like, for example, Aritzia to them would be like what Gucci is to me. You know, like, it's more of those top tier, like, brands, I guess, to them, since they come from the small cities. I'm not hating, but it kind of got excessive to the point where they'd be like, okay, so can I borrow your shirt, or can I borrow your jewelry, or can I drink that bottle of wine? And, like, at the end of the day, what really sucked was they turned it all back on me and said I was bullying them and I was manipulating them, and they were just, like, gaslighting me for the way that I had grown up to live. And I just felt like I was getting used by the things that I had and the things I could provide people. Like, when my dad came and to business trips in Ottawa, and he'd take me and my roommate out for dinner, and he'd buy us K-cups, and he'd buy us toilet paper and stuff that she didn't have to buy at this point, and he was buying for us, and they would just take advantage of that and completely use that. And I just wasn't really a fan, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like, especially if, you know, you're privileged, and, you know, you have nice things, or, you know, you have a car, you have nice clothes, you have whatever, I feel like people kind of just become comfortable and accustomed to just taking advantage of your shit, because, you know, both because you let them for a while because they're your friends, but after a while, it's just they become so used to it. It's like, oh, well, it's a $20 bottle of wine, so Madison won't mind if I drink it because she can afford $20. It's not a big deal. And it's like, bro, like, it's still your shit, you know? And if even if you ask and you're like, oh, like, do you mind if I have some of your wine? Like, whatever. You know, if you're cool with it, that's fine. But just, like, drinking your shit, or, like, you know,
coming home from the club and seeing your wine bottle empty next to your bed, no, not
that's fucking
good.
It's fucking frustrating. Like, I have people like that back in my hometown too, where it's just, you know, it's not super small town, but it's still suburban, and a lot of, like, small-minded people who, you know, are very, like, blue-collar, like, trucker type of people, like, Oshawa trash. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people just if they see that you're doing well and that you have a lot of nice things, and, you know, you have access to a car and nice clothes and all this stuff, then they are really quick to take advantage of it because they think that, oh, I'm gonna pretend to be your friend and, you know, be close to you and pretend to, like, you know, fuck with you and whatever, but they're really just looking for all the benefits that come with being your friend.
And what's even worse than those kind of toxic friendships are the friends, quote unquote, to use lightly, who go so much more above and beyond. And I'm talking copying you, acting like you, listening to the exact same music, adapting the same mannerisms as you. And you know what? I understand when you first start hanging out with someone, that might be the case for a while. But have I ever got a story for you? And honestly, just a disclaimer, this podcast might put me under and I might as well start digging my grave now, but I have to tell this story or I swear to God I'm gonna have a fit.
Lay it on us.
So, I have a nickname for Alex. And this nickname, oh my God, I need a white claw. This nickname is Al, okay? A-L, that's all it is, all right?
So obviously my full name's Alexandra. My family calls me Allie or Alex. School or like professional, I go by Alex, sometimes Alexandra, but I like to go by Alex because it's gender neutral, so I can pretend to be a guy and not get like sexism in the workplace or whatever. But literally no one on the planet calls me Al. Like, I think you're probably the only, I think my dad's maybe called me Al once in a fucking blue moon when he was too lazy to say my full name, but like...
I was the only person until... No. Well...
Until other people started adapting that nickname for me, which is just really out of the blue, because when you started calling me Al, like, when we became friends a few years ago, I was kind of like, that's a new nickname, but like, okay, I vibe with it, whatever. Like, no one really calls me that, so it's kind of like a personal and like unique thing that like you and I have, because everyone else just calls me Allie or Alex or whatever. So like, all right, like Allie, fuck with it, that's fine. But
until you're sitting doing your mascara in Al's condo and all of a sudden you hear, oh my gosh, Al, it's so nice to see you. My head turns and I'm like, what now? She just called you what?
And I mean, I guess imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but at some point, it's like...
God help us all.
It's like, you have to draw the line between, you know, being a unique person and, you know, having your own mannerisms, your own fashion sense, your own...
I mean, I bought my Gucci ring, and it's the Gucci ghost ring, and suddenly, for whatever reason, everyone wanted the Gucci ghost
ring. Everyone has it, yeah. Or like, I bought a Tiffany necklace for myself for Christmas.
Not the same one we
have. Not the same one we have, a different one. And then, like, literally a week later, my friend bought the exact same one. And I was like, man, let me have this.
like I get it. There's some things that you might want and someone else might
And you
want
see it
them.
And you're like, oh, that's really cute. Like, I kind of want it too. Like, that's fine. Like, we bought the same coat from Zara the other day. And, like, we bought it in different colors. Like, you know what I mean?
Catherine bought pants the other day. And I was like, oh, I was looking at those pants. Right. And she was like, oh, buy the brown and we'll share them. And I was like, okay,
you're right.
Fine.
Right.
It's like, it's... That makes sense. Like, it's pants. It's not a nickname or a super specific music taste like my own.
Yeah, like a pair of pants or like a matching coat or something isn't like, it's not as personal as something like a nickname or like something that's like a friendship thing between you and the other person. So I think that at some point it's just really trying to insert yourself into the friendship or kind of, you know, pretend to be closer to those people than you really are and adopting those mannerisms to be more like them, even if you don't necessarily like those things anyway. Like, I know, like, even like with you and I, like, we do not have the same music taste
not
whatsoever. Like, I do not pretend, like, I don't dislike your music, but like, I don't generally listen to rap unless I'm drinking or like at the club or like whatever. But like, generally I listen to more like indie, like pop and
One Direction,
shout out Harry Styles. But yeah, no, like, I don't pretend to like your music. Like, I'm not going to go and throw on, like, Trippie Redd on my Instagram story and pretend that I'm into rap. Like, that's just not who I am, and I know that. And I'm not going to pretend to be someone that I'm not just because I'm friends with you. Like, I think that's ridiculous.
And that's what I say, too. Like, my music taste, for anyone who knows me, is so specific. Like, it's almost Toronto hoodman.
It's Mississauga frat boy. That's how,
like,
I describe it.
I literally say that as, like, there are maybe four people in the world who could send me songs, and I would like them. And most of the people are guys because they have the same music taste as me. Like, it's not a typical girl music taste. Like, I don't know many people who listen to, like, Lil TJ and, like, Polo G and, like,
Your music can go on shuffle in your car. And I'm like, who the fuck is Skateboard Pete? I'm like, who are these people, bro?
Money bag,
yo. I feel like they're just making up names at this point. And you're, like, fucking, you're fucking with me. Because, like, I don't pretend to know these artists.
And that's the worst thing is when I go on and I see a playlist and I'm like, who really knows I Won by Future? Like, no one knows that song. Who knows Topanga by Trippie Redd? No one knew that song until me. It's kind of like I go on and I see a playlist on someone's account and I'm like, I showed you all these songs. And like, I'm kind of flattered, but at the same time, it's like, if you're going to post only these songs and kind of just change your whole vibe because of, like, honestly, once I got my white Volkswagen Golf, everyone I knew got a white Volkswagen Golf. And I totally understand you might want that car too, but it's another thing. It's like, do you really need that car in white? Do you really need the 2018 model? Like, how does it just happen? Poof, five of my friends have a white Volkswagen Golf. I don't understand.
I mean, it's one thing to, like, introduce your friends to new shit, like, show your friends new music or whatever, like, oh, like, I got this, like, new coat, and they're like, oh, I like that coat too, and they go out and buy it, like, whatever, I guess, because you can introduce your friends to new shit and, like, you know, influence them and you know, show them stuff that they might not have liked before. But I think that it comes to a point where once they start to fully change their taste or pretend to change their taste, to pretend that they actually like rap when, like, they don't really fuck with that stuff, or, like, pretend that they actually knew what Gucci was before the Gucci Ghost ring. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, like, there's a certain point where it's, like, okay, it's one thing to just introduce someone to new stuff and they start vibing with different music or whatever. Like, that's totally cool. But it's another to fully pretend to be someone you're not just to kind of, like, fit the mold of who you think you should be to be their friend, where it's like, bro, like, I don't like your music, but, like, I'm not going to pretend to go and listen to rap and, like, say, like, oh, me and Madison had the same taste in music. Like, we're so close. I'm not going to
fight someone because they don't listen to my music.
Like, I listen to sad, suicidal indie music. Like, not everyone fucking listens to that either, but it's, like, at least, like, I know that that's my thing. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pretend to change who I am and what I like just to fit into someone else's, you know, expectation of a friendship.
No, I think you're 100% right. But I think on that note, I need to kind of cool down. And I just do want to say that there are some friends that obviously clearly bother me, as you can tell. But there are also friends that I can see a few times a month or even a few times a year and still be at the same place with them. Whereas there's some friends who you might feel like you have to try too hard with and who need to keep that text relationship every day and who you need to keep that, oh, I need to see you every couple days. Like, I feel like there's a big difference between those kind of friends too, which can lead to toxicity if it's something you constantly have to put effort into, even when you don't have time to put the effort into.
No, and I think that a lot of friendships like that too are extremely draining, you know, if you feel like you constantly have to be texting them. Because my favorite type of friendship is, like, if you, like, with you and I, like, we barely talked all summer, and then, like, we hang out once school starts and we just pick up, like, nothing, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that, where it's not like we constantly have to FaceTime, we constantly have to text each other. I mean, now that we do this every week and we're back in school, like, we talk way more. But back in the summer when it was just, like, the pandemic and
nothing
you were
to
working,
tell each
exactly.
Other.
And, you know, I don't like the feeling of needing to talk to someone when you have literally nothing to say. You know, like, I had no updates to give anyone over the pandemic because I was literally just sitting at home for 12 hours a day and then sleeping. Like, there was nothing to really do, right? But I feel like when you constantly have to be texting someone and constantly have to, like, keep up communication and, like, keep up that relationship, I feel like it's so draining because you really have nothing of any substance to tell them or update them on. So there's really no point in constantly communicating with someone if you really have nothing to say.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think there's a very big point with that. And I mean, going back to what we were talking about before, like, there are certain ways that you can kind of tell or deal with friends who act like this, or friends who are jealous, or friends who are needy and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I just want to point out before we get any further that you should never downplay your success. You should never change who you are for someone else. Like, this is super cliche to say, but even if you feel like it, even if the other person who's coming in to kind of take over your own personality is trying to push you out of your own body and change who you are, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't downplay your success. You shouldn't feel like you're less than you are because you're worried about someone copying you or someone, like, thinking that you're too successful for them. Like, haters are gonna hate at the end of the day, you know what I mean? And if they hate, they're not your real friends.
No, I completely agree. And so, that being said, Mads, if you do have, like, a toxic friend or someone like that in your life, would you sit them down and talk to them, or just tell them to fuck off, straight up block them? Like, how would you recommend that you go about, you know, cutting those people out of your life when you've had enough?
See, I've had a lot of experiences with that. I've had a lot of experiences with working in e-commerce at work, where you walk in and the energy just kind of drains you because if someone's upset, everyone's upset, and it really starts to take a toll on your mental health. So for me, in the past, depending on who the friend is, I kind of make a list in my head of pros and cons. So, you know, I kind of say, okay, these are the things that I think are positive about this friendship and progressive about this friendship, and these are the things that I think need to change. And then once I come up with that list of things, I then decide how I want to approach the situation, and if there are enough pros that I feel like the friendship is strong enough that I do want to keep them around and it's worth working on, then I'll address it like that. I'll say, hey, there are some things I need to talk to you about. I confront them about the issues that I have, and I say, listen, if you don't want to change, if you can't understand what I'm saying, and if you can't listen to me, then that's cool, but I just want to tell you where we stand right now, and we're not in the best place, and then it's up to them to fix it. But if it's something where I think that the relationship's causing me more harm than good, which has only ever happened a couple times, I kind of just let it die off. You know, like, I'm not the type of person to say, fuck you, and just block someone. I don't think that's the right way to go about anything ever. I also am too compassionate to let myself be on bad terms with someone forever. Like, my worst enemy could come up to me tomorrow and be wasted, and I would still help them out. You know what I mean? So I think for me, I would just kind of phase myself out of the friendship, kind of reply less, start being more dry than I already am. Like, if you get a good response out of me over text, like, you're someone special. But I mean, phase myself out, try and ignore them, and make super blunt comments if they start acting like me or if they do something that I know I wouldn't like, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's completely valid, because I think that at some point, depending on their relationship and depending how toxic it gets, I think that we kind of reach that breaking point where it's like, you know, you have to sit them down and be like, listen, like, this friendship means something to me. Like, I don't want to just fuck off and never speak to you again. It's like, here's how I'm feeling, and this is what, like, this is where I'm at with this friendship, and if you want to continue with it and they feel like they want to respond to that and, you know, work on it, whatever, and move forward, then that's great. But I feel like a lot of the times people will get their back up too and get really defensive too, which is really a shame, because I think that at that point when people start to get defensive and be like, oh, like, you know, like, you did this and you did this, and like start turning the tables and like just, you know, acting even more toxic, I think at that point, you know, you really do have to distance yourself for your own mental health and your own well-being and your own happiness. I think that, yeah, at some point people, you know, you do have to reach your breaking point and just say, you know, enough is enough. Like, I vibed with you for long enough, but like, you know, just go your separate ways. And
the hostility gets too much.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, I mean, blocking someone and just saying like, fuck off, and getting into a big fight, that's even more draining too, is just like having that beef and having that negativity, especially, you know, if you go to school with them or like they live in the same hometown as you and you know, you're going to probably bump into them at a bar sometime, or like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. I feel like it's just more draining to just have that beef and know, like, that if you run into that person, then it's on site and it's just, it's a mess.
It's on site. In the trenches. Posted up in the trenches.
So I feel like, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just better to just, you know, distance yourself and, like, let the friendship fizzle out and go your separate ways, and, like, either you unfollow each other and unfriend each other, whatever, or, like, you just, you know, keep them on the back burner and you don't really vibe anymore and just don't hang out, then I think that's fine. But yeah, I think that making it into a big fight, unless like something does happen that's really big, like, yeah, you know, like they fuck your boyfriend or like something like that, then like, yeah, I mean, like, slit their throat, whatever, I support you. But that being said, I think that, you know, it's a lot easier to just let it fizzle out and just do your own thing and move on for your own well-being and your own sanity.
Well, now that Alex and I have covered the friend aspect of the kind of toxic relationships, I think there's even more, and you can dive a little bit deeper when it comes to actual relationships, like boyfriend and girlfriend relationships.
Yeah, I mean, friendship toxicity is already so complex, but then when you bring in, you know, sex and dating and romantic attraction and social media and all that other stuff into the mix, it gets so much more complicated and frustrating, and, you know, you can go through a lot of shit with a lot of relationships that can actually really fuck you up for a long period of time, depending on how toxic it is, depending on, you know, abuse and neglect and arguing and all that shit that comes into play with dating and relationships. That I feel like most people have had some kind of relationship either end in a really shitty way, you know, they cheated on you, or you guys fought all the time, or, you know, there's some kind of toxic shit going on, especially given, like, social media and, you know, DMing people and all the shit that can go on. I feel like there's so much more toxicity that can easily happen in relationships that people might not even be aware of.
Listen, I have a story for you.
Oh god, we're already going into story time.
I have to say it, it's getting me a little bit heated. Honestly, it's been a couple years and I'm still not over it.
Oh, well, that's called trauma, baby. We all have that.
Okay, so it was probably a nice summer day, you know, I'm not too sure, but actually it was a summer day. A few years ago, probably 2016, 2017, and there was a guy who was supposedly happily in a relationship with a girl. I can't say any more about the girl because then someone's going to know who it is. And he decided that he still wasn't over talking to me. So he was kind of a hood man, you know, so we came up with this plan where I would text him and say, got chops. So like, do you have weed? And if he responded with yes, he could talk, and that meant he wasn't with his girlfriend. And if he responded with no, that meant that his girlfriend was over and he was busy and he couldn't talk to me. What do we think about that one?
I mean, that's an interesting little system you have going there. But I mean, yeah, I feel like that in itself is kind of fucked up, because if he's in a relationship and he's not happy and he's still willing to like talk to you in that way and still have you in his life and on the back burner and whatever, I feel like he would need to reevaluate his priorities. And I think that, you know,
say it louder for the people in the back,
like,
Alex.
If you're gonna be a hood man and like have a bunch of bitches on the side and whatever, like, that's fine. Or like, you want to like fuck around and like sleep with a bunch of people, like, whatever, you do you, enjoy your life, like, whatever. But I mean, I don't really understand the point of having a girlfriend and then bringing other girls into the mix, or vice versa, having a boyfriend and like fucking with other guys. Like, I don't understand, if you want to live a single life but you're in a relationship, like, just fucking be single. Like, I don't understand the mentality behind that. Because, like, you know, if you're young and you're like, fuck, like, I don't want commitment, I don't want to have a girlfriend, or I don't want to have a boyfriend, I just want to, like, hook up with people on Tinder, or, like, have, like, three girls in rotation or three guys in rotation in a week, like, whatever, you do you. Be safe and consensual and happy, whatever. But, like, at the same time, like, why bring a girlfriend or a boyfriend into the mix? Like, I just think that's going to fuck them over in the long run, and, like, also fuck you over, too. So, like, I don't really see the win in that.
Well, that's where it makes girls, or me in this case, look like shit, because my entire life I've had this happen where guys are like, oh my god, like, I don't have a girlfriend, and then flash forward, a couple girls hating me and a restraining order later. Stay tuned for that story if you ever want to hear it. My DMs are always open. And girls still don't believe me, and the guys still get away with it. There was a guy I worked with and work with, and he... when I was dating my ex, he really liked me, and I, like, kind of liked him a little bit, but he was more unfaithful towards his girlfriend and all that kind of thing. And then when I went to try and tell her, or if I wanted to let her know, same with my ex when he got with his new girlfriend and then he cheated on her with me, like, when I wanted to let them know, I was the bad guy to the girls because the boys had already gaslighted them and manipulated them into thinking that I was just spreading shit up. And I wasn't making anything up. I was telling them the truth that we hooked up and this is what the truth is and you're not gonna like it, but I have to tell you because it's girl code. And they kind of just went and blocked me and said fuck that. And then some of them are still with their boyfriend, some of them aren't. Props to the ones who aren't, because you knew that he was childish and you got out of it. But I mean, I think toxic relationships are really big with our age and our generation, and this is just ridiculous to me, honestly.
And that pisses me off so much is that, like, if you catch your man or your girl cheating, and then you get mad at the person they cheated on you with, like, you get mad on, like, the side bitch or whatever, like, they didn't do anything. Like, they didn't make the commitment to date you. So, like, why are you getting mad at the girl that your boyfriend fucked or the guy that your girlfriend fucked? Like, I don't understand what they did wrong, because they didn't make a commitment to you. They weren't the one who said, oh, you're my girlfriend, you're my boyfriend, we're exclusive now, like, oh, baby, I love you, like, all this shit. Like, you should be getting mad at them for cheating on you. I don't understand dragging in the third party who, like, didn't do anything, like, even most of the time didn't even fucking know that they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So I don't really understand, like, fucking getting livid because, oh, you fucked my man, you fucked my girlfriend, blah blah blah. It's like, bitch, like, they probably didn't even know, and even if they did, like, they didn't make the commitment to you, so how is it their fault?
And at the same time, I had a lot of those girls follow me, but they would be the kind of girls who would follow me not to like any of my pictures, but to follow me to keep an eye on me, and, like, if their boyfriend was following me and whatnot. And, like, just the other day I was talking to Catherine about someone from my past, and then that night, in the middle of the night, he had re-added me on Snapchat when I haven't talked to him in, it said, like, 118 weeks or something, so you can do the math. And he had added me, hadn't said anything, just added me. And then today he unadded me, and then added me again, and then unadded me. It's kind of like, make up your mind. And your girlfriend hates me because of what? Like, literally because of what? Because you're making the stupid choice to go behind her back and not commit to a single life, which is what you know you need, or commit to someone who you know you'd rather be with than to cheat on them, or then to go off and be disloyal to them or dishonest to them.
So that being said, in that situation, are you the type who would, you know, message the girlfriend or the boyfriend and be like, hey, like, your man's hitting me up, or, like, you know, your man's trying to smash? Like, would you tell the person that the guy's trying to cheat on you, or would you just kind of, like, keep it on the down low?
It depends on the situation, because I've had times where I've fully gone and called the girl and said, hey, this is what happened, you need to hear it from me, you need to hear the story. I think more so when the rumors start, that's when I'll, like, say something. If they're just kind of being slimy on the lows, I'll kind of keep it and hold it in my back pocket in a way. Like, the one guy, same guy from a few years ago, saw me at one point and had seen this girl that he was supposedly supposed to be seriously talking to a few days later, and I had literally sent him a text saying, I really hope you're telling said girl that you're taking on blank, I can't say what they were doing because that'll give it away, that you're sleeping with other people, if not, you're not the kind of guy I thought you were. And he was calling me, begging me not to say anything. And I was like, you know what? Listen, it's not my job. You're going to feel shitty about it. Not only is she not the girl for you, but you're going to feel shitty about it when you realize that you fucked her over and that she was a nice girl who probably didn't deserve it. I don't hate her. I don't have animosity towards her. She did nothing towards me. But I'm going to let him live with that because it's not my job to go in and deal with that relationship. That's kind of how I see it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I think it depends on the situation. Like, one time I was talking with this guy on Tinder for, a few weeks. We followed each other on Instagram and, like, whatever. And then he started posting that he had a girlfriend. And I was like, okay, like, whatever. But then he would still DM me and, like, ask for nudes and, like, ask to hook up and whatever. And I was like, bro, like, no, you literally have a girlfriend. So I took the, I screenshotted the conversation and I DM'd it to his girlfriend. Oh, and this man literally threatened to kill me. Like, he lost his mind. He was like, why the fuck would you send that to her? Like, you're making me look like such a fucking prick. Like, how fucking dare you? Like, I'm gonna fucking find you and end your life. It was so funny. And I mean, he still tries to match with me on Tinder to this day. And this is like 2 years ago. So like, he's still trying to like slide in, because I guess that obviously didn't work out. But I mean, yeah, I think that sometimes you do owe it to the girl, especially if you have no connection with the guy and like you don't really care, like you don't have a relationship with the guy. I feel like you do kind of owe it to the girl, because like, or owe it to the guy or like whatever, to be like, yo, like, she belongs in the streets, like, you know, like they're trying to fucking slide in my DMs, trying to smash, and like, you don't owe it to the girl or the guy to keep it private, because like, you don't have a relationship with them. So you're like, you know what, like, yeah, like, fuck you. Why are you trying to cheat on your man or your girl with me? So I think that at some point you do kind of have to be like, listen, like, they belong to the streets, like, just trying to give you a heads up and let a homie know that, like, your boyfriend or your girlfriend is not who you thought they were. So, I mean, yeah, I think that sometimes you do really have to just kind of be like, listen, you know, fuck you. Why do you even have a boyfriend or a girlfriend if you're trying to just smash people on, like, Tinder, Instagram, or whatever? I think that at some point it's just like, you know, fuck off.
Yeah. No, well, it's super interesting to me how you said he threatened to kill you, because I know there are a lot of manipulative instances in relationships where people say, oh my god, like, if you leave, like, I'll kill myself, or, like, and they're not actually being serious. Like, they're just saying it to, like I said, gaslight you. Like, take a shot. Every time I've said gaslight in this episode, you'd probably be on the floor. But they'll say, like, oh, if you tell so-and-so that I sent you this, like, I'm gonna kill you, or I'm gonna fuck you over in your next relationship, or, like, just wishing you the worst for situations they intentionally place themselves in.
So on that note, we're going to go into Alex's story time now, because
oh, no.
I've had a lot of experience with the whole, if you break up with me, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, good.
So my most recent ex-boyfriend, which I've been single for about 3 years now, so this is a while ago, and that's all due to trauma, but my most recent ex-boyfriend, we dated for like a few months, but we were really good friends beforehand, but he was extremely mentally unstable, like had a lot of mental issues going on, like a lot of shit, a lot of anger. And stuff like that. So we went to a Leaf game together, and we were fighting the entire time. Like, it was really bad. And so I got up and left during the third period. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going home. Like, fuck this. Left. And then we got into this big fight, and he was like, if you don't get into my fucking car right now and, like, come home with me and, like, sort this out, then I'm going to kill myself. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, fine, fuck, whatever. Like, it's a Thursday night. I have school tomorrow, but you know what? Whatever. I got in his car. And then I was like, you know what, like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, this is just, it's too toxic. It's too fucking negative. There's too much anger and, like, fighting and whatever. So I think that this is where we should end it. And this guy, instead of trying to kill himself, tried to kill both of us by swerving into oncoming traffic on the fucking 401. So I was like, okay, so now I gotta fucking call 911 on this fucker who's literally swerving into the fucking, like, guardrail on the 401 trying to kill us both because I'm trying to break up with him. Because, you know, a lot of times you don't think that these people are serious. You're like, oh, no. Like, they're just like, oh, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. And it's like, no, this man was serious. He was trying to swerve. I was like, mother.
Well, if you're not going to be with me, you're going to die with me.
Yeah, literally, like some fucking like Romeo and Juliet shit. I was like, bro, we've only dated for 4 months. It's really not that serious. But I think that he was just so fucking mentally unstable that he was like, you know what, like, well, yeah. I'm going to fucking lose it. And then I went home and like I was crying and I was like, fuck, I almost died. Like, that, you know, when I say up. I want to kill myself, I don't mean it literally most of the time. But like, I guess that time he took it a little literally and wanted to fucking end it for us both. But, you know, after that, he would still call me and be like, I didn't mean it. Oh, my God, take me back. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, bro,
no,
bro, I almost died.
I didn't mean to accidentally totally swerve the car on purpose.
Like, so like, I mean, I think that's one of the most toxic things, like, that I've experienced, but also just, like, the whole, like, oh, if you leave me, I'm gonna kill myself, like, oh, if you leave me, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, like, yeah. And, like, pulling that card is just so fucking uncomfortable and so fucking selfish, because most, like, 99.9% of the time, they don't actually fucking mean it, and they're not actually gonna kill themselves, but to put that on your conscience that, like, oh, what if they actually fucking do, and it's, like, that's just so fucking unfair and so fucked up for people to do, and people do it so much just to, like, guilt you into staying with them, when they fully well know that, like, this relationship's not working, it's toxic, you're fighting, and, like, if they have to pull that card, then it's, like, it's not a good relationship, you know what I mean? And it's not a fucking healthy relationship, so I hate it when people pull that fucking card or, like, guilt you into staying when, like, the relationship's clearly gone to hell.
And on that note, what's even more toxic than being in that kind of relationship is getting out of that relationship, finally breaking free from a relationship like that, and then going back to something like that out of comfort, even though you've realized the relationship's toxic. And now I know that me and my friends are all really guilty of this, going back to exes, going back to ex things, whatever, even though we know probably shouldn't do that. But it's just funny to watch the amount of times that some people do it and that just never actually snap out of it. Like, I can say I've snapped out of a few of them. Haven't fully snapped out of all of them because I do think not every part of some of the relationships I'm in is toxic. Like, I think they're toxic in their own different way, but I think I could actually be good for certain people if we kind of fix certain things. But anyways, that's a whole nother story.
Well, and it's definitely hard when, you know, especially if you've known each other for a really long time and they become such a pivotal part of your life where, you know, you're constantly talking to them, you're phoning them, texting, you're hanging out, and you, like, they become such an integrated part of your life every day that it's kind of like breaking free from like an addiction or something, you know, where like you have withdrawal from not talking to that person anymore. So it's so easy to, you know, get drunk and text your ex or text someone that you used to hook up with because you still care about them and there's still something there.
We don't recommend it though.
No, like, please fucking, please, like, do not, please do just not. Like, temporarily block their number or something if you're drinking, because like that literally never ends.
I used to change their name to like the ex's name and then do not respond, or like do not fuel the fire or something, like psychotic, like, even if I don't think of them like that, because it's gonna make me think
twice.
Or even
just like give your friend your phone or something, because like literally nothing, like pretty much 9 times out of 10 nothing good comes from texting your ex. They're your ex for a reason. But I think that there's, especially with like messy breakups, there's always unresolved feelings and stuff. There's always like, you know, you still care about that person. You still had good times together. You still give a fuck about them, even if they fucked you over or you fucked them over and there's like bad blood. It's so hard to actually fully move on. And it does take a lot of time, especially when they had such a big impact on your life. So I think it is really easy to, you know, want to crawl back or like want to try something again or like think, oh, there might be a way that we can like, you know, get back together and make things work again, even though it was probably a toxic relationship that should not, you know, happen again, and you guys really do need to move on. But I definitely do have a lot of friends where, like, I need to smack some sense into them and be like, listen, like, this guy has fucked you over multiple times. You know they're no good for you. Like, you need to just cut them out of your life, fucking block them, move on. Like, they've done enough damage and there's no salvaging it. But, I mean, it is, I mean, it's easy to say that, but it is really hard to actually fully, like, talk yourself out of it and move on and say, you know what, like, I deserve better. I think that comes down to self-worth and self-love. And, like, eventually you will reach a point where, like, you know what? I do deserve better than this and I'm going to move on from it. Fuck this person, whatever. Like, they're not, like, there's no point in trying anymore. But it does take a lot to get to that point. And I think that that's really hard to realize.
And when you do finally realize that and you realize that your self-love and worth will get damaged, essentially, every time you go back to something or someone who wasn't treating you right, then that's when you, like, lose yourself. If you don't start thinking that you're better than them and that you can, like, you'll do fine without them and you'll succeed without them and that you don't need them, then you're just going to be stuck in a never-ending cycle of, oh, what if this, what if I didn't break up with them, what if they didn't break up with me, like, whatever, right? So when you scale yourself down, that's kind of when you lose yourself, and so you just can't really be in that mindset. And I know how hard it is to get out of that, and I know how difficult it might seem to completely ignore or disregard someone who you once considered like your everything or something super cliche like that. But I think that a lot of people need to hear that you need to be good on your own before you can be good for anyone else and before you can let new relationships come into play and better things come into play. And like, yeah, there is trauma. Like, Alex has a shit ton of trauma from that. Like, I totally get it if toxic relationships are something that you're just used to being surrounded by. And I'm not saying anyone's ever going to completely get over every toxic relationship they have. Like, everyone has to have at least one semi-toxic relationship in their life. Like, I know that that's probably a fact, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, you're going to do what you're going to do, but at the end of the day, self-love is the most important thing.
No, that's very true. I mean, like I said, like, obviously, like, I carry a lot of trauma, not just from that, but like, I think that, you know, on that note too, every single relationship, whether it ends poorly or you stay friends, you always learn something from that relationship and become like a more rounded person, a better person. You take all the shitty things that happened in that relationship and you can now apply it into new relationships where, you know, you're like, okay, this didn't work, or like, this person treated me this way and I wasn't cool with it, so now I'm not going to let anyone else do that to me. You know what I mean? So like, even though you might go through a lot of trauma and people might treat you like shit, or like you might end up having a really messy ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, at least you can learn something from that and take it into future relationships so you know that you can avoid that in the future. And I mean, like, yeah, like, I carried trauma from past relationships, and I have moved on from it and I've gotten over it. But that being said, I have stayed single for as long as I have because I've learned to be, you know, be good on my own. You know, I live by myself now. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been able to do that before because I would have, you know, needed to depend on someone, whether it's my parents or like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. But now, you know, I'm good being alone. I'm good doing my own thing, having my own schedule, living my life and just doing what I'm doing. But before that, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You know what I mean? So I purposely took the time that I did to stay single for like 2-3 years or whatever and just kind of like find myself, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, be comfortable with who I am, be comfortable being alone and just liking being alone too and just like enjoying having time alone by myself and doing what I like to do and, you know, learning how to love myself and just, you know, have that confidence to be okay being alone, because that does take a lot of work. And I feel like a lot of people do depend on relationships and do, you know, always feel like they need to be dating someone or talking to someone or sleeping with someone or having that kind of connection constantly. And it takes a lot of learning to learn how to not necessarily need that 24/7.
And it's not like everyone's necessarily asking for an all or nothing relationship or like a label or something like that. Like sometimes people just want someone to sleep with on occasion, or like sometimes people are good with dating but not actually being in a relationship. And you know, eventually once you get to the point of self-love where you realize, okay, you don't need to check their snap scores, you don't worry about posting thirst traps on socials for them to see, you don't need to specifically design the content that you post or the things that you do so that they see them and then delete them after, like their private stories or whatever. Like when you stop checking up on them, you will notice one thing, which is that they always come back. Always. The second you're doing good for yourself, always, and the second that you're too good for them, they will come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, you knew you were too good for them in the first place, but the second that you show other people that you were too good for them, they will come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're all guilty of doing that shit where we post a thirst trap and, like, we wait to see, like, so-and-so has liked your photo or, like, so-and-so has viewed your snap story. Like, I think everyone's guilty of doing something like that on social media. And I think that's valid because, you know, you want to get back at them and be like, oh, look at me, I look hot as fuck. Or, like, look at me, I'm out partying with my friends having a good time. Like, fuck you. I think that that's valid to want to do that. But I think that, yeah, it's very true that, you know, once you kind of stop, you know, doing that and checking if they've liked your photo or checking if they viewed your story or whatever, and you're finally moved on and you're doing good, they always fucking crawl back and they're like, hey, like, just been wondering how you've been doing. Like, it's been a while. And it's like, bro, what are you doing?
When they stop care, when you stop caring, yeah, or showing you care, like, I've had that happen, same guy from before, but after he broke up with his girlfriend, I got a request that, like, the following summer from him on Instagram again. And I responded and I was like, oh, look who it is, because these types of people always find their way back to what they know. And that's nothing bad, and it's not uncommon, but it's just, it's what happens. You just kind of know they're going to be back. You know that no matter what, they're still checking up on you, and the second that you start to show that you're disinterested, that's when they get bothered. It gets under their skin. They're like, oh my god, why doesn't she care about me? Why isn't she texting, fighting for me? Like, why was this the last thing she sent, and why didn't she congratulate me on this or this or this? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it just goes to show, the second that you start appreciating yourself more, maybe they'll, when they do come back, you can obviously decide not to keep them around, but maybe if they do come back for good, like, there'll be a change and it won't be as toxic as it was before, you know, because both of you will have realized stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had that with one of my ex-boyfriends. I was like, we dated when I was maybe 18 or whatever, went to the same high school, whatever. We dated for a few months. Once again, it did end in a very messy and toxic way. Stopped talking for a few years. He now has a girlfriend, ooh, of like 2 or 3 years. And he called me before one of my journalism classes, I think 2 years ago. I was sitting in my res getting ready for class. And I got a phone call from a restricted number. And I was like, what the fuck? So I answered it. No one answered. No one said anything. So I was like, whatever. Hung up. Continue getting ready, doing my makeup, whatever. Same call, restricted number. And I answered it. And I was like, hello. And they're like, hey, it's so-and-so. And we hadn't talked in, like, 4 years. And he's still dating this girlfriend as we speak.
Oh, my God.
But he called me and he was like, hey, like, I've been thinking about you lately. Like, I work downtown now in construction. And, like, I was wondering how you're doing. Like, I really wanted to apologize for how shit went down. And, like, I'm really unhappy in my relationship right now. And I was thinking about you. And I was wondering if you wanted to grab a drink. And I was like, honestly, no. I was like, you know what? You don't deserve that. Because, first of all, you have a girlfriend. And for you to do that to her, that's fucked up. And I'm not going to condone that or support you in doing that. And also, like, our relationship ended for a reason. And I'm not in the business of moving backwards. I tend to move forward in my life. And if I've ended a relationship with you, whether it's a friendship
or a romantic relationship, I've ended that for a reason, so I'm not going to move backwards and, you know, entertain this. I mean, I said to him, I was like, you know, I respect you for calling me and apologizing for how things ended, but this was also like a 3 year ago relationship. It happened a long time ago. So, I mean, it's kind of too little too late, and you also have a girlfriend, so maybe you should work on that instead of trying to slide back into my life. So, I feel like it's very common for people to see that you're doing well. You know, I'd moved downtown, I'm in journalism at Ryerson, doing well and whatnot, and so people love to be like, oh, she's doing really well, so now that she's doing well, maybe she can make my life better, so now I'm gonna, you know, slide back into her life and try to crawl back in. So, I mean, I think that that saying no definitely does come down to self-worth and self-love, because had it been like two or 3 years ago, I maybe would have entertained it and been like, yeah, you know what, let's get a drink, let's hang out, let's catch up, even though I shouldn't have. But now that I kind of have that like self-respect and that, you know, self-awareness to say, you know what, fuck you, no, like, go work on yourself, like, I'm not part of your life for a reason, I feel like that definitely does come down to, you know, confidence and self-awareness and stuff.
At the end of the day, you're worth so much more than what they put you through, and you can't forget about that. And as much as I apparently give good advice and don't practice what I preach, I am a firm believer in the second that you start doing well and showing them that you're doing well, that is the moment that they realize they fucked up and they lost something good.
And even if you're not doing well, my motto is fake it till you make it and pretend that you are, and just say, you know what, fuck you. Like, I have a life outside of you, and I'm gonna,
I don't depend on you.
I'm
gonna
hang out with friends and have a life and go to the gym and look good and, you know, move on and be fine. Even if you're not fine, and even if you're falling apart, and you know you miss them and your life's going to shit,
you
whatever,
show them you're fine.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, you don't want to give them the satisfaction of, oh, look, you broke me, or, you know, like, my life's fucking falling apart without you. Because even if it is,
we don't have time for that.
No, don't give them that satisfaction and be a bad bitch, or be a bad, what's the male equivalent of bad bitch? I don't know, but be a bad bitch anyway. And just show them, you know, fuck you, like, I'm doing well without you. And if they try to crawl back, then, I mean, if you want to entertain it, then I guess you can, because we're all gonna have our moments of weakness where we entertain old relationships and, you know, maybe let someone crawl back in. But at the same time, you know, you need to know your worth, know your value, and if you don't think that person deserves you, then tell them to fuck off.
So on that note, this is all the time that we have for today. But before wrapping up, we just want to let you know that next week is reading week, which means
we're going to take a very well-deserved break from our podcast and get our shit together before midterms.
And we'll catch you back the week after with an episode about midterms and burnout and how we will definitely not be surviving.
So thank you guys for listening. And as always, all love and best wishes for reading week, and happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate it.
Yeah,
but
happy,
if not,
Thanksgiving.
Enjoy the long weekend, and we will see you guys back here in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Bye for now.